What's up, Z-Pack? It's your boy, Z-Dog MD, and your homie, Tad. Why am I chilling with Tad all alone? Because Tom and Logan left me all alone. And so, as a vindictive, spiteful thing, what I'm going to do is prove to the world that I don't need them to do a show in Z Studio. Okay, Tad? I don't need those two. Okay? All I need is me and you and 473 live viewers. And we're going to do this right now. All right. And because they're not here, I don't have to justify to them what I want to talk about. They're like, oh my God, Z, that's so boring. I don't care about blood pressure. Well, you know what? With the new American College of Cardiology and American Heart Association guidelines setting 130 over 80 as the baseline for hypertensive in this country, that would then diagnose about half of all adults with hypertension. It raises the question, are we even measuring the damn blood pressure right? And many people, myself included, would argue that we're not. And based on incorrect, imprecise measurements that are full of technique errors and just conceptual errors, well, now we're going to start treating people? Like, that's cray-cray. Because y'all know that these medications don't come without side effects. They can save lives. Area under the curve, number needed to treat, probably too many, but it still saves lives. But if you're getting the blood pressure diagnosis wrong in the first place, then what's the point? So let's talk about this. I'm going to pull up your comments. I'm all alone in the studio. I hope I don't get assaulted because it's Vegas and Vegas is a freaking ghetto. All right, let's take a look here. I'm kidding, Vegas. I love you. You know that. I don't like you, Vegas. I'm a little schizophrenic today. Here are our comments. Hey, look at that. How adorable. Big Pharma Driven, says Adam West. That's another talk we're gonna get into. What is the nature of the guidelines? But today I just want to talk about measuring blood pressure. Let's see. Yes, we should use the correct cuff size for each patient. Many providers don't even know how to do this, Sarah Morris. Yes, and that's the least of our problems. All right, let's go through this. How, first of all, should we be diagnosing and measuring blood pressure? And this goes for people with who you're trying to decide, do they have hypertension in the first place, or they already have a diagnosis of hypertension and you're trying to follow, are the lifestyle, diet, and medication interventions that we're recommending, are they actually working? How do you find out? You got to measure the blood pressure right. Now, in the old days and in the new days, we use these mercury sort of column sphygmomanometers, whatever that means, manometer, pressure, column, etc. And you would manually put the cuff on, inflate it, and put your stethoscope right over the brachial artery, and then you would listen, first of all, hear the carotid cough sounds disappear. That's the turbulent sound of blood going through a partially squeezed off brachial artery. And then you'd slowly inflate the pressure of the cuff until that sound went away for quite a bit, because sometimes you can get something called an auscultory gap where the sounds go away and then they come back. You want to get above that, completely crush the sounds, right? And that means that the brachial artery is squeezed totally flat so that no blood is getting through. You've occluded that artery. Now what you do is you slowly release the pressure on that air bladder, on the cuff, so that you start to allow the vessel to slowly open up. And once it starts to open, you hear those sounds, that noise. That's turbulent blood flow trying to squeeze through this partially squeezed off vessel. Once the vessel completely opens, those sounds stop because now the flow is more laminar and it goes right through without making noise. So the principle of the blood pressure measurement is that as you start, you squeeze the pressure real tight so you've occluded that brachial artery, then you slowly let it off until you hear the carotid cough sounds. And when you start hearing them, okay, that pressure that you read, that's your systolic blood pressure. So that's the top number on the two numbers that you see in blood pressure. As you start to slowly let the pressure off millimeter by millimeter as it comes down, once those sounds disappear, that means that the turbulence is gone. When you then measure that pressure, that's the sort of resting pressure that's keeping the blood vessel open. And that is your diastolic pressure, or the lower number in your blood pressure. So then you get your 120 over 80 or what, or your 180 over 90 or whatever your blood pressure is. And that's the old school way of measuring blood pressure. Now, there are little tweaks here and there that make it tricky, but here's the bottom line. The manual measurement of blood pressure, okay, is not as good as the automated machines when they're properly calibrated, and they measure a patient's blood pressure when you aren't in the frickin' room. Let me repeat myself. If you're sitting there doing this manual blood pressure on a patient, you are more often than not inducing a rise in the systolic blood pressure by your mere presence in the room. Do you guys remember in physics there was something called the Heisenberg uncertainty principle? What that said is that in quantum mechanics, the mere act of measuring something changes it because you're bombarding it with photons or energy in order to measure it. Well, the mere act of measuring blood pressure with a conscious observer sitting in the room alters the blood pressure. We know that more colloquially as white coat hypertension. That means that the presence of a white coat in the room squeezing on that blood pressure raises your blood pressure. And you know what's fascinating? You guys got to see this right here. Let me just show you this. There is a figure that actually shows the difference in blood pressure when a doctor versus a nurse takes it. Check this out. This is from UpToDate. So when a doctor measures it, that's the blue squares. When a nurse measures it, that's the red circles. Look at the difference of almost 10 millimeters of mercury between these. And what that tells you is, what it implies is that people are more freaked out by the presence of a doctor, usually in a white coat, being a doctor and all kind of creepy, than they are by the comforting presence of a nurse. And so that's kind of interesting. And I think that's more just the status that we accord. So people get nervous in the presence of what is hierarchically the highest authority figure in the room in the old days. And so that's one way to interpret that. So what that means is the automatic blood pressure machines, the oscillometric blood pressure machines, you know, the ones that we always use in the hospital, you slap on the cuff and you hit go and it goes brrrr, tsh, tsh, and then it measures your blood pressure. Those are actually quite good. They use proprietary algorithms to actually measure the pressure in the artery. Now, the thing is, the reason they're better than the manual in many estimations is that you can leave the room and have the machine do a series of blood pressures in reasonable sequence and then average them with you not in the room. And it turns out they've done studies where they've correlated those measurements versus manual blood pressure measurements versus what they consider the gold standard, which is ambulatory blood pressure monitoring. That's a machine that you wear the cuff and you walk around the day just, and it'll inflate every 20 minutes or so. And then it will keep a record and average them, et cetera. That's considered the gold standard because that's you in your regular environment, with the difference being there's a machine on your arm. And so the Heisenberg uncertainty principle of measuring is much less disruptive when you start to forget the machine's even there and your blood pressure just keeps getting taken. Now, when you compare that to the automatic machine where you've left the room for a few minutes and it's just taking the blood pressure, that's much closer to the ambulatory blood pressure than a doc or a nurse coming in and measuring it a bunch of times with a manual cuff. And again, that has to do with the white coat hypertension. I call it the Heisenberg uncertainty principle of blood pressure measurement. So the best thing you can do in measuring blood pressure as an outpatient is the machine with nobody in the room but the patient. Now, let's say you actually have the luxury of time and you don't have 40 patients and you can actually do this, right? And you have your MA, you are an MA, or you're a nurse, or anybody assisting in this. You put the patient in the room. How do you position them? Because most of the time, we are doing this wrong. First of all, before we get into that, I want to read some comments. Some of my worst BP measurements on me have been taken manually, says Zach Thompson. People make it up. The machine doesn't care. That's true. So not only do you have observer error because the person's trying to listen, they may not be that good at it, or they just assume this guy has hypertension and they add a little bit to it. There's a lot of bias with the manual measurements that the machines override. What else? And then a lot of people saying they don't trust the manual BP. And I agree. Now, the worst is when patients at home use blood pressure cuffs where you have to inflate the cuff manually. Because now what you're doing is you're using muscle to inflate the cuff, and that's raising your blood pressure if you don't take time before you do the measurement. So anyway, speaking of that, how do you measure blood pressure accurately? Well, number one, you shouldn't have had caffeine or be exercising or smoke a cigarette like half an hour before you get your blood pressure, because those are gonna artificially change your blood pressure. Strenuous exercise can lower your blood pressure in the short term. Cigarettes can raise it, and so can caffeine, especially for people who don't drink a lot of coffee. One cup can raise your blood pressure significantly. So you don't wanna have those things. Also, things like Sudafed, you know, over-the-counter cough medicine, et cetera, that and sinus medication, that can raise your blood pressure. So you don't wanna take those. That's gonna be artificially elevated readings. Then the question is, how do you position the patient? Well, one of the most common problems is people put the arm too high or too low. If it's above the level of the heart, your blood pressure is going to be artificially low. If it's below the level of the heart, all the blood is pooling and it could be artificially high. And if you let it dangle without supporting it, it's definitely going to be high because you have the hydrostatic pressure of the blood in the arm that's resisting the blood flow, and that you're going to measure that as an elevated BP. So arm should be supported on a desk or a table at the level of the heart, the arm that you're measuring the blood pressure in. Okay? Now the second thing is the patient should be sitting with their back supported in a chair. So, you know, you should have a chair with a back, and the patient's back should be supported, and they should be sitting upright. It turns out if you don't support the back, if you have a patient just sit up and support themselves like this, you can raise the diastolic blood pressure by like 9 millimeters of mercury. So have them have some back support, feet flat on the ground and completely uncrossed. So just like this, with feet on the ground uncrossed, it looks something like this. Like that. And if you cross your legs, you're going to raise your systolic blood pressure by a significant amount. And yes, I'm wearing corduroys. So shut up, Tom Heidenberg, because I know you're going to make a comment. If you cross your legs like this, you're going to raise your systolic blood pressure, okay? And the second thing is, if you're sitting on an exam table and your legs are dangling like this, guess what? That's going to mess up your blood pressure. Now, how many times do we measure blood pressure with people sitting on the end of an exam table with their legs dangling off? That is going to affect your blood pressure. Feet on the ground, back supported, arm at heart level, right? Cuff 80% of the length of the arm, okay? And it should not be too small, especially for obese patients, or you're going to get an artificially high blood pressure measurement. So sometimes you need a really big cuff. And if you can't do that, then you have to resort to wrist measurements, okay, in very obese patients. So all those things to begin with. So the sitting, the posture, the back supported, the this. Now, what's the next thing? Don't talk to your damn patient. So people, I see this all the time. I'm guilty of it myself. Oh, well, Bob, you know, we're just checking your blood pressure. I'm going to calm you down by talking to you. And then you're going to respond just like when the dentist talked to you and you're like, rah, 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 rah. You can't help but talk. The patient should not be talking and you should not be talking to the patient. Everybody should be silent. And in fact, the patient, ideally, if you're doing a manual blood pressure, ought to have been resting quietly for 5 minutes without talking prior to the blood pressure. If you start talking during the BP, it is going to raise your systolic blood pressure. So that's the other thing. Shut up, rest prior, up to 5 minutes is what they're recommending for, especially for the manual blood pressures, and don't talk, and all the other positioning that we talked about. No caffeine, exercise, crack cocaine, methamphetamines, all the other jazz. I'm talking to you, Tom Heidenberg, because I know you're watching somewhere. You're probably not, because you're off in Dallas at a wedding or something. And Logan's off with his family doing in San Diego, I think, having fun. And who's working? Me. That's who's working. But this isn't work. This is a labor of love. All right. So back to the blood pressure at hand. The automatic oscillometric blood pressure cuff without a person in the room is the best. It's really the best. And you want to get probably 3 good office measurements to show that somebody has hypertension. Now, some people say 2. The guys in UpToDate really recommend 3 because if you can't do the gold standard, which is, you check a blood pressure in the office, it's high. Well, if your insurance covers it, which it often doesn't, or you can afford it, which you often can't because these devices are like $1,500, you can do ambulatory blood pressure measurement, which is you wear the device and the cuff for a day, and including at night, and it checks your measurements throughout the day, and then you average it, and that's the best. And that's often quite a bit lower than you get in the office because you don't have the white coat hypertension. So that's the gold standard. If you can't do that, then if people can get home blood pressure measurements using a $40 Amazon.com device, right? And you know what? I'm going to put one... if you guys saw earlier, I have an influencer page on Amazon where we get a little affiliate money if you guys buy stuff through that link. I don't care who you buy through. I just like to list stuff that I care about, like the books that I really love to read and I recommend you guys read, different silly things like rice cookers and stuff. I'll put an Omron BP cuff on there, the one that I use for myself that I like a lot. You know, it's not expensive. It's like $40. It's battery powered and it works great. That home blood pressure measurement is the next best thing. Right? If you see an isolated office blood pressure measurements that's high. Checking your blood pressure at specific times of the day, if you don't have pre-existing hypertension, then maybe in the morning, maybe at night, maybe in the afternoon, and then averaging them, bringing in all the numbers, right, and seeing what's going on, because you know emotional stress, whether you've eaten, whether you've exercised, that's going to alter your blood pressure. Now, if you have hypertension, some of the classic teaching is you check your blood pressure just prior to your dose of blood pressure medicines, because it's like a trough measurement. All the blood pressure medicines hit a trough, and you can check your blood pressure then, and that's a good time to check it. But it's good to talk to your doctor about how they want it measured. So that all being said, home blood pressure is second best to ambulatory blood pressure measurement, continuous sort of stuff. And if that doesn't work, then you got to check multiple pressures in the office over multiple dates, ideally with an automatic machine where a person isn't in the room giving them white coat hypertension. And then if your diagnosis is 130 over 80, which is now what they're calling it, which I still have a lot of reservations about, which we're going to talk about in another show, but let's say it's true, then and only then do you start talking about, okay, lifestyle modifications and medication and treatment and all of that because you have a diagnosis of hypertension. Now, if you ever diagnose 180 over, 90 or something higher than that in an office, that's pretty much a guaranteed diagnosis of hypertension, especially and always if you have evidence of end organ damage, problems in your fundus exam, I'm having trouble saying ophthalmological exam, any evidence of kidney damage, EKG strain, those kind of things that show end organ damage from hypertension, you have a diagnosis of hypertension. Do not pass go. Go directly to jail and start managing it. Let's read some comments. Check yourself before you med yourself, says Cheryl Narotsky. I love that. Let's walk and talk, shall we? Because nobody's here, so I can go to Tom and Logan's desk. Let's do that. Look at these guys. They're such slobs. Just like random coats sitting on their thing. I found a bottle of wine. I found this bottle of wine on the ground. Let me see if I can show you this. Just sitting on the ground, Screw top too, really classy. I'm currently hiring for the position of Tom and Luke. While they're gone, I'm just gonna take a crap on them because it's easy to do. All right, let's read some comments. Thank you for clearly explaining the correct way to take a BP, Kimberly Bowman. Well, we are supposed to learn it in school, but often we don't, and we get so busy, and I've been guilty of this. We measure it wrong. We do people a real, real disservice, okay? At the Mayo Clinic today, I wish I had that information, says Lisa Johnson Moore. So on key, I tell them I only have high blood pressure because of them. At home, it's 120 over 80, and it's 139 over 84 in the hospital, yet they bump her up. Well, here's the thing. White coat hypertension is a real thing. And if you're treating it, then you're doing people a disservice. So home blood pressure measurements, ambulatory blood pressure measurements, that's the way to figure that out. Or the automated machine without you in the room taking an average of multiple measurements. That's the way to do it. Now, another important thing. Do not just check it in one arm. The first time you're checking it in particular, check BP in both arms. Why? because there can be a discrepancy in the arms. And actually, greater than 10 millimeters of mercury discrepancy in the arms can be indicative of other problems like subclavian artery stenosis or other peripheral vascular disease. But it can also be, you know, some people have it normally, but it is associated with other problems. Now, the thing is, which blood pressure do you believe moving forward? Which arm do you take it in? Always take it in the higher blood pressure arm. Why? Because the arm that has the lower blood pressure may not be indicative of the blood pressure your actual body is seeing. The higher the blood pressure means the most open pipe. And that means that's the blood pressure you trust for the whole body. It's the best blood pressure that you can measure in the arm. So you really want to check both arms. That's a crucial modifier to everything that I've said. Let's keep reading. What about those of us that bottom out at the doctor's office, Michelle Mills? So Michelle, there is something called masked hypertension that you can have a low pressure at the doctor's office, sort of paradoxically, and then at home have a high pressure. And that's why, and those patients are at risk because you're not diagnosing hypertension properly in someone who has it, and you can end up with all the end organ damage. Now remember, we're talking about stroke, blindness, kidney disease, you know, cardiovascular disease, congestive heart failure, terrible, terrible things that result from uncontrolled, untreated high blood pressure. So yes, that can happen. That's why I encourage people, and I'll put it on my shopping list for Christmas here on Amazon. If you go to amazon.com/shop/ZDogMD, you can see the list of things that I like myself and you may want to get. So this Omron blood pressure cuff that I really like, it's only like $40. Get it and measure your damn pressure at home. And if it's real high at home, and here's the thing, make sure the cuff is the right size, okay? If you're like, and there are guidelines for this that you can read, your pressure's gonna be artificially high, okay? If you're using a tiny cuff and your BP is still low, then great for you. But if it's high, you may wanna get a bigger cuff. And then if you're a really big person, you may have no recourse but to do a wrist measurement. What do you do when you have a double amputee with a PICC line in one arm and a fistula in the other? Michelle Skelton. So I don't know if that's a joke or you actually have someone like that. It's possible for sure. This gets to the question of people who you can't measure pressure in a particular appendage. So for example, breast cancer with lymph node resection, you don't want to measure in that arm. People with fistulas because they, AV fistulas from dialysis. Other issues that would cause you not to want to measure blood pressure in a particular arm. Well, then you can go to leg blood pressure measurements. If they're a double amputee, that's a problem. You can go to wrist. If they have an appendage, you can measure. If that doesn't work, if you have no extremities, there are other ways to do it. I don't recommend squeezing the neck. We can get into that in another episode. There's always central lines where you can get central BP in arteries, but we're not doing that as an outpatient. I can't stand a medical professional that uses the wrong cuff, Sherry Blankenship. Well, there's no excuse for it, right? But we do it all the time. Let's see. Do you feel that if a patient checks their BP too many times in a row, it could raise it, Courtney Husson? Well, here's the thing. It's not so much that you're going to raise it. It's more that if you check your blood pressure sequentially too close together, two in a row, you haven't had a chance for the blood to empty from the arm properly, and you can artificially raise the BP. So that's something, or lower it, depending on what you're doing. So that's something you really want to wait 2-3 minutes before you measure a BP again in the same arm. Okay. And the thing is, you ought to be measuring it in the same arm every time, the arm that has the highest blood pressure that you measure when you compare two arms. So that's very, very important. Can you get your BP down? So Terry Rindu says, I can get my BP down with deep breathing and meditation. Really, Terry, I have no doubt you can. Biofeedback has been shown to help people with their blood pressure to get it down. Let's go back to our table here. That's so weird being all alone in the studio. I kind of like it. And yet I don't like it because I don't have the clownery that I normally have. More comments and then we'll let you guys go. Thank you, Sarah Teachy. Sarah living up to her last name. She's Teachy. I forgot to mention this. Don't forget to have an empty bladder. If your bladder is very full, you can artificially alter your blood pressure. Always have your patient empty their bladder. Be quiet. Rest for 5 minutes. Don't talk. Feet flat on the ground, right? Back supported. arm at heart level that you're measuring, and ideally you not in the room using an automated cuff. That's the best way to measure an office blood pressure. At home, same principles apply. You're just using a home cuff, okay? Guys, I think I want to keep this short. Stacy McMurdaugh asked what brand you recommend at home. I like Omron, Omron. I use it myself. I'll put it on my Amazon list right now, and then I'll share that list in the comments. I'm going to keep this short so that you guys can hit like, you can hit share, because we can save lives if we diagnose blood pressure correctly by avoiding complications of unnecessary treatment and actually catching people who do have high blood pressure. I hope you guys are excited about Thanksgiving. There's a new Doc Vader coming out shortly. I'm going to reshare the Thanksgiving Doc Vader, which is not safe for work. Just so you guys know, ID Dog, my brother-in-law, once removed, is going to be coming into town for family visiting, and we're going to do shows about infectious diseases. So definitely get your questions ready. I love you guys. I'm going to hit you guys with one quick Facebook ad on our way out that helps us support the show, and we're still part of the beta that gets to do this. So please watch it all the way through and tell me what you see in the comments if you get an ad or not. Lately, it hasn't been serving. It's supposed to target you. Hit us up on patreon.com/zdogmd to support the show. If you can, we really appreciate it. And we out. Cash Money Millionaires. Thanks, guys.